And I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 8. This will be that last character that I've got on my heart, the God of a brand new start. And it would be the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. And I think you'll understand in a moment why that God wanted to magnify this tonight. In Acts chapter number 8, we begin reading in verse 26. And if you've studied your Bible much at all, it's a familiar story. It's one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. Brother Jason, you read my life verse tonight in your reading. I don't know if you knew that or not. But 2 Corinthians 4:5 is the verse God gave me when He saved me to try to claim for my life. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourself your servant for Jesus' sake. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, and he saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, or Gaza. I need to look that up and see how it's supposed to be pronounced for sure. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he read Esaias or Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I love this. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Would you pray with me a moment? I want to try to bring the message God has put in my heart tonight. Our Father, tonight I want to thank you for the privilege, Lord, to meet here with the people of God this evening. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll give us, Lord, liberty to stand and preach the Word of God tonight. Lord, I'm often conscious and aware that one day, Lord, I may stand for the last time. God, this may be the last time that I get to preach. If it is, help me to do my best. One way or the other, Lord, help me to be a blessing to those that have gathered tonight. God, I pray, Lord, you'd make your word real to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. All right, this evening, what I want to share with you about this eunuch is just three simple things. The God of a brand new start. There was, number one, the need for forgiveness. You might say, Pastor, that's just so elementary. You'd be surprised how many people there are in this world that don't think they need that mercy that they sang about a while ago. They don't think they need that forgiveness, amen, that God offers in His Word. Let me say a couple of things about the need for forgiveness tonight. Number one, the need is universal. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Word of God said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God said there's none righteous, no, not one. The Word of God said that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Word of God said, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? The Word of God said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The need for forgiveness is universal. You've never met a man, you've never met a woman, you've never met a boy, you've never met a girl that didn't need to be forgiven. Every person needs to be forgiven. And tonight, this eunuch, beloved, is one that needed to be forgiven. Now this is something tonight, I think, how God raised it up in my heart that I needed to magnify this tonight. Number two, the need. This is number two under number one. Y'all get it, don't you? Amen. Just because you say you got three things, they might be three things under the three things. Well, I guess that three times three would be nine. Hey, we'll get there after a while. Amen. But listen, the need for forgiveness. The need is universal. But number two, the need is unsuspected. You say, Pastor, why did God put this in your heart to finish this series of messages like this tonight? Here's why. That woman taken in adultery, thrown down there in the midst, it was obvious that she needed to be forgiven. That man hanging on a cross beside of Jesus hadn't been nothing but an old rotten thief. It was obvious that he needed to be forgiven. That king, amen, by the name of David that slept with somebody else's wife and had a baby, it was obvious that he needed to be forgiven. You look at this man, beloved, in the Bible, he's called a demoniac. He's cutting himself. He's breaking the chains. He's dwelling among the tombs that nobody can tame him. It was obvious that he needed God, that he needed to be forgiveness, that he needed to be forgiven. Listen to me. It's not so obvious with this eunuch. Honey, he's got a nice chariot. He's in charge of Candace the Queen's treasury. He's somebody. Amen. You see where I'm coming from tonight? Let me say something to you tonight. It'll be a happy day in a lot of Baptists' life when they realize that sitting on a Baptist church pew ain't enough to get them to heaven. Amen. You say, Pastor, I'm not a thief. I'm not an adulterer. I don't steal. I'm not a demoniac. I tell you what, every one of us is lost. At some point in our life, if we never got lost, we never got saved. And beloved, if you see you're lost, then you can see you need to be forgiven. And here in the Scripture, the need is unsuspected. Listen, God put this in my heart. One of the reasons was I thought about the night I got saved at Landmark Baptist Church. Everybody in that church thought that young man sitting on the front pew was a Christian. Everybody in that church, if I would have died, would have thought I went to heaven. But there was a God that knew better. There was a sinner that knew better. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God knew better. And beloved, it was unsuspected when I got up and walked down to an old-fashioned altar of prayer and told the pastor, I need to be saved. Probably ain't nobody in Ethiopia thinking that this man needs to be saved. But you see, he had went down there to Jerusalem to worship. He was doing the best he knew how. Ain't you glad God showed you the best you know how ain't good enough? The best you can muster up ain't good enough. I'm telling you, beloved, if the best we could do would get us to heaven, then Jesus died in vain. The biggest mistake this world's ever seen is Jesus died on the cross. If we could be good enough to get to heaven on our own. But tonight, the need is universal. The need is unsuspected. But number three, under number one, the need is undeniable. You can't deny it. This man, physically speaking, I had a cousin that was born with a hole in her heart, a physical hole in her heart. And she was just a youngin' when she had to have open heart surgery. But I'm going to tell you tonight, every one of us spiritually, before we meet Jesus, we got a hole in our heart. Some try to fill it with alcohol. Some try to fill it with drugs. Some try to fill it with religion. Some try to fill it with materialism, the things of this world. But I tell you, there's only the one that'll ever fill that spiritual hole in a person's life, and that's Jesus. The need for forgiveness. The second thing I want you to see in the message tonight, you see, if you just knew about this man, you might think, well, he's a pretty good fella. Hannah, when I think about that statement, I think about him every time, how God got a hold of his heart when C.T. Townsend said in that tent meeting, said, even good old boys go to hell. And I tell you, God drove a nail in Rusty's heart right there. Amen. He didn't get saved right then, but he didn't get away from that. Amen. You can't just be a good old boy and go to heaven. Amen. You got to be a born-again boy to go to heaven. Amen. You got to be a blood-washed boy to get to go to heaven. Amen. And so the need for forgiveness. The second thing that I see tonight is the neighbor in forgiveness. You say, Pastor, who's the neighbor here? Well, that was asking the Bible, wasn't it, in that story of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? Well, I'm going to tell you what, old Phillips being a good neighbor. Amen. I don't think he had State Farm on his shirt, but like a good neighbor, Philip was there. Say amen. Amen. This man has a need for forgiveness. You know who knew it? The eunuch knew it. You know who knew it? The Lord knew it. You know who knew it? The Spirit of God knew it. Amen. That's one and the same. But y'all know who else knew it? Philip knew it. You say, Pastor, how did Philip know it? Well, go back over here tonight. I'm going to talk about a neighbor in forgiveness. Number one, under number two. I never preach like that, but anyway, I'm having fun doing it. Amen. Amen. I don't have them little ones numbered, but I'm just trying to keep you in the loop. Amen. Number one, under number two, he needed to be sensitive. If we're going to be a neighbor in forgiveness, we've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God's leading. We've got to be sensitive to his leading. Watch what I'm talking about. Let's read verse 26 through 29 again. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. I'm not trying to be ugly. But when's the last time you could put your finger on it and say, God spoke to me? God spoke to me. I'm telling you, that blows my mind. Amen. I bowed my head today in the shop and I said, God, I don't know. Would you help me to know? My people need to be fed. God, would you show me? And he spoke to me. Are you listening? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight. God wants to speak to you. You say, well, Pastor, you're the pastor. Get over that. If you're a child of God, he wants to speak to you too. Amen. Amen. He was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. The Bible said here, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, or Gaza, which is desert. Let me remind you something. What the Spirit of God's saying here, humanly, makes no sense. It don't make any sense. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if you go back over there, the Bible said in verse number 5, Verse number 4, they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. Verse number 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. You say, Pastor, why does it not make any sense? Because, beloved, Philip is in Samaria and they're having one more meeting. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God's turning that city upside down and doing wonderful things. But there's a truth to be learned right here. God's just as interested in that one in the desert as he is that multitude in the city. I'll tell you tonight, you ever get a hold of that? Amen. I tell you, I thank God for the night I realized, Brother Brian, I was the one that he come for. Amen. I was the one he died for. I was the one he spoke to. I was the one he wanted to forgive. Tonight, he's sensitive to the Spirit's leading. The Bible said in verse 26, the angel spake and said, Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he prayed about it about 6 months. Is that what it says in verse number 27? Huh? Said he rose. If we ever have revival in America, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take God's people doing what God says when God says to do it. Did y'all hear that? I didn't have that in the notes, but it's worth repeating. It's going to take God's people doing what God says when God says to do it. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God's leading. Let's go on. He arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now listen to me. I'm getting a little bit sidetracked right here. But Philip, he did not assume that just because this man's got position, just because this man's got power, just because this man's been to Jerusalem to worship, everything's okay with that man. Let me tell you something that come to my heart just now. I tell you, one of the reasons I believe a lot of the services in Christian schools are dead is because men go in there assuming that all them youngins know Jesus. I'm telling you, some of the meanest people in the world, you'll meet them in a Christian school. Let me get you better than that. Some of the meanest people in the world, you can meet them in church. Amen. I ain't got nobody in mind, but I've met some of them along the way. Amen? I'm just telling you, beloved, listen. He was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. He went down there and he was returning. He's sitting in his chariot and he read Isaiah the prophet, Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, let me just say this to you. It's a happy day when we learn this. Listen to this right here. When you listen the first time, and you move, oh, it's just easier the next time. Amen. You get that ear tuned towards heaven, and God says, arise and go, and you arise and win. He said, okay, here's why you're here. Go over there and join yourself to that chariot. And look what the Word of God said. He ran. God didn't tell him to run. Amen. But you know what will happen when God gets a hold of us and we get sensitive to what He wants for our life? Beloved, we'll want to do not just what He said, but we'll want to do it more. Amen. We'll want to go overboard. And that's one of the problems. Somebody said, well, you don't need to go overboard in this thing. I'm reminded of that soul winning story that I heard years ago about them folks that got saved. That woman got saved first, and her husband found out she was going back to church that night. He said, my goodness, ain't no use in running it in the ground. There ain't too many Baptists running it in the ground these days. I can tell you that. Amen. Real cream. Little dab will do you. That's what a lot of people's got tonight. But here's a man that's sensitive to the Spirit's leading. The Bible said the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Some of you have heard this and some of you ain't. I'm going to tell it anyway. If it bores you, it bores you. I was in Wise riding an old 1969 Brother John Snapper lawnmower. Had one of them round 30-inch. I bet you've owned one somewhere along the way, ain't you? If you ever need to mow a garden, Brother John, I'm telling you, corn stalks and all, it'll blow it off, amen? Spit it out, hey, chop it up. I was mowing. Come around there by the creek. We had people visit our church, and generally speaking, Brother Brian, I let a week go by. I wanted to see if they'd come back before I went and visited with them. This couple got on my heart, and the Lord said, I want you to go visit with them. I said, okay, Lord, and I just kept them mowing. I went around about a half acre, three-quarter acre property, got right back along the creek in the same place, and God said, I want you to go visit with these people. I didn't hear nothing audibly. Don't look at me like that. But I tell you what, I know the shepherd tonight, and I know when he's putting something in my heart. And I went on around there again, and I'm telling you, it was so strong the third time, it was as if God said, I mean now. And it was so strong, Brother Michael, that I reached down between my legs, turned the blades off on that old lawnmower, made a cut across the high grass. I had me a spigot on the back of the house there and a bar of lava soap laying in the window. And I took that bar of lava soap. I had on old pants that had caulking and paint all over them. Amen. I washed my hands a little bit, washed my face a little bit, took my handkerchief, dried off, and got in the car and headed towards town. The devil got in the car. He said, it's 2 o'clock. They ain't even home. And I said, I usually don't agree with it, Brother Rick, but I said, devil, you're probably right. But God said to go. Now, that was a stupid thing for me to say, amen. You're probably right, but God said to go. God's always right, ain't he, Miss Data? Amen. He's always right. So I went on to town. I knocked on the door. Man answered the door. He said, come in, preacher. I went in. He said this. You listen to me. He said, my wife and I work for the same company. Today's our anniversary, and they give us our anniversary off. We've been sitting here all morning talking, preacher. We need something, but we don't know what we need. You know what they needed? They needed mercy. You know what they needed? They needed forgiveness. Amen. It was so easy, Brother Jason, amen, to take that King James Bible, lay it out on the coffee table, and point them to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But every time I tell that story, I tremble. I tell you why. Because, see, you might think, well, you're bragging. Oh, I'll brag on the Holy Ghost all day long. Amen. But here's my thought. How many times, Brother Rick, have I missed him? When he spoke, and I was too busy. I was too wrapped up in something else to hear his voice. How many times in my ministry have I missed the still small voice of God when he was trying to lead me in a direction? I'll give an account for that one day. I'll give an account. He was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Number two. Y'all like that? Amen. I might do this more often. Amen. If I ever do label them little things, it's usually A, B, and C. They're not even labeled. So we're just having fun tonight. Number two. Okay? He was sensitive to the sinner's pleading. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to me carefully. I want you to listen to me real carefully. A lot of men would have walked up alongside of a guy reading the book of Isaiah in his chariot, and they'd have thought, my goodness, this man loves God. I mean, this is somebody that's spiritual. But Philip was sensitive to the sinner's pleading. You say, how was he pleading? Well, when he got up in the chariot, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Well, I think that was before he got up in the chariot. But anyway, he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he jumped up in the chariot. And the scripture he read was out of Isaiah 53. And he come down there and he said, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? What happened then, beloved? The Word of God said he began at that same scripture.
and preached unto him Jesus. I believe tonight, if you look at the scripture here, he was not only sensitive to the Spirit's leading. In verse number 30 and 31, Philip ran thither to him. He heard him. In verse number 31, he said, "How can I accept some man guide me?" He was sensitive to the sinner's pleading. But I'm going to give you this, beloved, and every one of us needs this tonight if we don't leave here with anything else. He was sensitive to the Savior's bleeding. He realizes when this man, he's led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is dumb. I'm telling you, beloved, why is he willing to do what God wants him to do? It's because he ain't got over Calvary. Too many of God's people have gotten over Calvary. Beloved, listen. The average person in Bloomingdale, they think if you go to church, you're going to heaven. They think, beloved, listen, if you just do good and you be a good person, you'll be all right. God's going to weigh it out in the end. If a good outweighs the bad, there's nothing further from the truth. The Scripture doesn't teach that. Beloved, the Savior bled and died. And you and I, what did the Bible say? If any man will come after me, let him take up his, what's that? That's sensitive to the Spirit's bleeding, or the Savior's bleeding right there. Take up his cross and follow me. I believe tonight, too many people are thinking about the crown and not enough people are thinking about a cross. It's not supposed to be an easy road. The road to Calvary was not an easy road, but Jesus paid it all. And it's a happy day in our life when we realize all to Him we owe. We're not ourselves. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. There's a need for forgiveness. The need is universal and the need is unsuspected. The need is undeniable. There's a neighbor in forgiveness. That's Philip. He's sensitive to the Spirit's leading. He's sensitive to the sinner's pleading. And he's sensitive to the Savior's bleeding. But number three, this is probably the crown jewel of the whole message. There's a name in forgiveness. He began at that same scripture and preached unto him John. He began at that same scripture and preached unto him Peter. He began at that same scripture and preached unto him Candace. He began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. How many likes that song? What a lovely name. The name of Jesus. I love to stop and say this tonight. Beloved, before I was ever saved, I knew there was something about that name. Thank God I knew there was something about that name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yeah, only one name. His name is Jesus. I tell you, I thank God for old Philip, don't you? He began at that same scripture. Now, the Bible, I'm not trying to add to the Bible or take away from the Bible. But I think it's reasonable to think maybe, you know, this fellow's already reading in Isaiah. I think it's reasonable that maybe Philip told him why he was so different. He was born of a woman. He wasn't born like me and you, Mr. Eunuch. Amen. He didn't have a sin nature. He lived a perfect life. He preached unto him Jesus. Amen. That same Jesus went to that cross. That Ethiopian eunuch probably already knew about that. That news got around. That's the one that died on that cross. And the third day, son, he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And you know what? Going on down the road there a little bit, there's some water. And that eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "Thou mayest, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." I don't know what he preached unto him. Oh boy, I like this. But I know who he preached unto him. Amen. He preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. The name and forgiveness. Verse 32 through 35, I'm not going to take time to read it. It's getting late. But this name is magnified in the Bible. Honey, you can find Jesus in Genesis. Glory to God. Amen. His name. Oh, the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You know, tonight when you magnify, my wife, I sent her downstairs yesterday to look at a breaker. I said, honey, I can't tell. I had a flashlight. I shined her. I said, is that a 50-amp breaker or a 60-amp breaker? She grabbed the flashlight and went downstairs. She said, I can't tell either. She said, where's my magnifying glass? And I had her magnifying glass up in the shop, Brother Rick, so I'd run up there and get it. And she come upstairs and said, it's 60-amp. You know why she was able to see it clearly? She got it magnified. You know what a lot of people in Bloomingdale need? They need somebody to magnify the Lord. Amen. Amen. Not only will it make something small bigger, Jesus to a lot of people small. Amen. Make him bigger. But it'll take something. You got a telescope. Them stars is way out yonder. It'll take something way out yonder and make it closer. Glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. There's a name in forgiveness. It's magnified in the Bible, but then it's magnified in the believer. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But then the last thing in the message tonight, this is number three under number three. It's magnified in the blessing. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water. Now listen to me. Y'all know that couldn't have been a glass of water, right? That couldn't have been a goblet. Say amen right there. When they come up out of the water, that's what the Word of God said, amen. They come up out of the water, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. I don't know what that looked like. I'm going to tell you something right now. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've not been able to set the woods on fire in my ministry, but I'll tell you this. The next best thing to being saved myself is having the privilege to take that Bible and show somebody else, amen, their need of forgiveness. And the one that can meet that need, his name is Jesus. Oh, I tell you tonight, if you've never known that joy, you ought to get on your face before God and say, God, don't let me leave this world without pointing somebody. We're not the Savior. We don't do the saving. But thank God we can point somebody to the one who can. What's the blessing here? When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. Now, I believe there could have been in a short period of time, a special relationship there between, you know, Philip is this man's father in the faith. The eunuch is Philip's son in the faith right now. A special relationship. But Philip gets caught away and sees him no more. But Brother Brian, he ain't sad. The Word of God said he went on his way rejoicing. Y'all know why? Because God had given him a brand new start. God had given the eunuch a brand new start. How many's met that God, amen, that let you go, amen? And serve him. All because you can go back to a place where you trusted him. Back to a place, beloved, where he became your Lord. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Amen. Well, that ain't all of what God did in my heart. That's most of it. Thank God tonight that he still the God of a brand new start. We got kids over here. They're going to come up to an age where they're going to realize when they look in that mirror, that's a sinner in that mirror. I've lied to my mama. I've lied to my daddy. I've done things that are wrong. When they realize that, How many's glad, Mom and Dad, you can point them to a God that'll give them a brand new start? A God that said you must be born again. A brand new start. Everybody's glad you come tonight.